Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Makos Daf Chaf Beis. We are going to pick up from Daf Chaf Aleph from Beis at Amar Lei Ula L'Rav Nachman. We'll backtrack just a little bit. The fourth to last skinny line on Daf Chaf Aleph from Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, and honor his wife and children, Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Tzacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. Also by the Gross family, Lizecher Nishma, Chana Leah Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda Ben Rab Nachum, Chaya Leah Bas Naftali Herzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah, and also in memory of Akiva Fogel, Akiva Ben Chaim Baruch, on his second yard site, who is dedicated to the Daf, always being Koveya Itim, his Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to discuss Chilik Malachos when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, in the context of trying to figure out why we didn't mention more Yom Tov violations in our Choresh Telem Echad, where you Chayiv Shmona Malkios. Then the Gemara is going to say, well, wait a second, Choresh Telem Echad, Chayiv Mishum Shmona Malkios, the Gemara is going to have seven more suggestions of Malkios that you could get for that one act of Charisha, and why don't we list any of those seven other Isurim? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how sometimes we can have an issue of Klayim with even just one animal that could be klayim, even though it's one animal. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to get into how many malchios we give, meaning when a person is chayiv malchios, is it 39, is it 40, is it ever less, what happens if it's more? So the Gemara is going to derive from how we learned 39 malchios, for those who hold 39, that there's something special about being mechabed tamidei chachamim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if the assessment of how much the person can handle changes in one direction or the other. So do we now adjust how many malchios we give him? The Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to talk about doing one assessment for two separate lavin. Do we say, no, if he's chayv two separate lavin, we'll do an assessment for malchios number one, do malchios number one, let him recover, do a separate assessment for malchios, or do you just do one assessment? He's chayv 80 malchios, let's see what he can handle, and if he can handle 50, we'll give him 50. If he can. So that's going to be the discussion over there. And then the last Mishnah on the daf, the long Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to talk about what exactly the procedure is for Malkus, how exactly we implement Malkus. My Zoom is off somehow. Okay, what the procedure is for Malkus. I feel bad. Let me try again. Yeah, he's not here, so right, they're out of luck. Okay, so let's begin again. We'll backtrack to four lines before the lines get wide on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So I'm like Ul Rav Nachman. Why not give it? Yeah, good. Okay, thank you very much. So Vilulki Nami Mishum Zareya B'Yom Tov. Why don't we give them Malkus as well for planting on Yom Tov? Samalei, so Rav Nachman says back to Ula, Tana V'Shayer. Okay, so we didn't mention that because we left off some of the Malkios. Samalei, Tana Katani Shmona V'Atam Tana V'Shayer. Come on, the Tana says eight Malkios, and you're telling me that it's not giving an exhaustive list. If it could have come up with more, would have come up with more. Samarava, no, Yesh Chilik Malachos B'Shabbos V'Ein Chilik Malachos B'Yom Tov. That if a person does multiple Malachas on Shabbos, he's chayiv for each and every av malacha that he does on Shabbos, as if he violated separate lavin. But the same is not true for Yom Tov. When a person in one period of shogeg does multiple malachas in Yom Tov, he's only going to be chayiv one lav, and that lav is for the violation of malachas Yom Tov. So Amalei, Ula said back to Rava, Adota, hey, that is correct. I agree that there's no chilik malachos when it comes to Yom Tov. Why is there no chilik malachos in Yom Tov? So the Rivan explains that the source for chilik Malachos on Shabbos, the Gemara says, is according to Rabbi Nassim, from the fact that the Torah says Lo Sasek Kol Malacha, which sounds like you just can't do any of the malachos. And then there's another pasuk Lo Sevarish Mechamos Rosechem Yom Shabbos, that you shouldn't do a havara. So we darsh. Why does it have to identify havara separately? So according to the sheet of Rabbi Nassim, is havara lechalik yatzus, that havara is identified separately to teach me that just like you're chayiv separately for havara, you're also chayiv separately for each and every malacha. So on Yom Tov, where havara is never identified separately as a lav. So then we go back to the default that there's just one iser of not doing malacha, and we're not mechalik from between one malacha and the other. That's according to Rabbi Nassan, and even according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has a different Rabbi Yossi who does not darshan avara lechalik yatzus. He has a different drash of chiluk malachas for Shabbos because the pasuk says va'asa me'achas mehena. So we darshan that you could do an avera achas, which is considered like hena, as if you've done many averos. And that is when you know that today is Shabbos, but you don't know that these malachos are asr, and you do multiple malachos, so you chayv separately for each and every one of them. So again, that's only by Shabbos, but not by Yom Tov, because that pasuk of asa me'achas mehena, it's not written in the context of Shabbos, but it's written in the context of a chi of chatas. And on Shabbos, you're chayv a chatas if you do a malacha b'shogeg. On Yom Tov, you're not chayv a chatas. Yom Tov is just a regular lav. So va'asa me'achas mehena is not going to apply to Yom Tov. So whichever drasha you have for chiluk malachos by Shabbos is not going to apply over to Yom Tov. Now it's interesting. The Gemara's suggestion was you should also be chayv mishum zoreya on Yom Tov. Well, if you're being zoreya, forget about the fact that it's Yom Tov. We already mentioned that it's Shemitah. So why don't we mention that you should be chayv mishum zoreya during Shemitah? So the Ritva says that's also a good kasha. But Einach Haim is just picking one of the two examples that could have picked that if you happen to be zoreya, yes, you're violating Yom Tov, and you're also violating Shemitah with that. Also, he says it could be that in Shemitah it's pashut that there's no chiluk malachos by Shemitah. On Yom Tov, there's a hava mina that there would be a chiluk malachos because Yom Tov is so similar to Shabbos. So I would have thought that you're going to be chayiv separately on Yom Tov by Shemitah. It's obvious that there's no chiluk malachos. It's a violation of farming during Shemitah, so it doesn't matter if zoreya or not zoreya. And you can't say that zoreya is mekalkel because when you're being zoreya klayim, it's asabana anyway. And kolam mekalkel peturim. The Aruch Lener raises this question that how can you say you should be chayiv mishum zoreya? Isn't it by definition mekalkel because you're being zoreya klayim? So whatever you're being zoreya is aser. So it's if it's mekalkel, you're not going to be chayiv on melachas Shabbos and Yom Tov. So different achronim deal with that. The Minchas Chinuch raises that question. The Aruch Lener raises that question. The Pashas is what the Minchas Chinuch answers. That when we say that you're patur mishum mekalkel, that's if you do something that is a physical kilkel, that it's something that's destructive, that it would be a kilkel even absent halacha. But over here, you're planting some very good stuff, right? It's just mekalkel because it's just a spiritual destruction. It's just because it happens to be aser. So anyway, Esrei Abaye, so Abaye challenges Rava, the ein chiluk malachos b'yom tov. Are you sure that we don't say chiluk malachos when it comes to Yom Tov? Vatnan, but don't we have a Mishnah mevashel gid b'chalav b'yom tov ha'achalo, that if a person is mevashel gid anasha, the Gilead Shesh is not vatnan, it's vatanya, because it's not a Mishnah, it's a brisa. If a person is mevashel gid anasha in chalav on Yom Tov, and he eats it, loke chamesh, he gets 5 malkios. Why? Loke mishum ochal gid. He violates the Yisrael of eating a gid anasha. The pasuk says, okay, no yochum neyisrael is gid anasha. Veloke mishum mevashel b'yom tov shlo l'tzarech. And he violates the Yisrael of kol malach lo yasavem, because he's cooking on Yom Tov shlo l'tzarech. Whoa, you get malkios for cooking on Yom Tov shlo l'tzarech. So the Ritva says, if you're beishamai, meaning beishamai holds that we don't say mitoch shurut l'tzarech, hutranami shlo l'tzarech. Beisilil holds, we say mitok shurut l'tzarech, hutranami shlo l'tzarech. Now, granted, Beisilil says, you need a tzarech hayom ktsas, to be allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Yeah, that's to be allowed to cook on Yom Tov. But even without a Tzorach Hayom at all, you're not going to get Malkus, according to Beis Hillel. So by saying that you're going to get Malkus for cooking on Yom Tov, it must be that you hold like Beis Shammai, who doesn't apply Mitoch, that it's only Mutter to cook when there's an actual Ochel Nefesh need. But absent an actual Ochel Nefesh need, you're going to get Malkus for cooking on Yom Tov. V'loka mishum mevashel gid b'chalav, and you're also chayiv for being, you also get Malkus for being mevashel gid b'chalav, because the gid is basar, so it's nisar basar b'chalav. The Rivan points out, we're also assuming like a particular shita in Tanayim over here, we're assuming yesh begidin b'nosin tam, because if ain begidin b'nosin tam, then the gid wouldn't have a din of basar, so it's only basar b'chalav if the gid has some sort of tam to it. And v'loka mishum ochel basar b'chalav, you're in violation of eating basar b'chalav. One of the three times it says, lo svashel gidi b'chalev imo, is to teach us nisar v'achilas basar, and it's also a violation of Havara on Yom Tov, because Bishul and Havara are two separate Avos Melachos, so you chayv separately for Havara. So those are the five that we identify, the five Malkios that we identify in that case. But V'yemisa, but if you're going to tell me there's no Chiluk Melachos in Yom Tov, and no matter how many Melachos you violate in Yom Tov, you're only going to be chayv one Malkos, Mishum Havara lo mechayv, do chayv le Mishum Bishulo. How can we count separately Havara and Bishul as separate Malkios? Those are both Yom Tov violations. So don't you see, we're assuming in this brisa that yesh chiluk melachos on Yom Tov. So it says Gemara, apik havara va'il gira nosha shal nevela. You're right, take havara off the list. You're not going to be chayv separately for havara because you're already chayv mishum bishul on Yom Tov. And instead, what you should put on the list is gira nosha shal nevela, that when you eat it, you're also violating achilas nevela, meaning not only achilas basa b'chalav and achilas gira nosha, but that you're also violating achilas nevela. So va'atani Rabbi Chia lokeshtayim alich. But wait, didn't Rabbi Chia explain that of the five Malkios, two of them are for Achila and three are for cooking? So isn't that because Mavir and Bishul and Yom Tov Shal Tzarech and Bishul Basar B'chalav, right, those three are for cooking, but V'i Isa, but if you're in fact correct that you're going to take out Havara and you're going to replace Havara with Achilas Gid Shal Nevela, then Shal Shal Achilasu Chayiv, then it's not two for the Achila and three for the Bishul, it's going to be three for the Achila, eating Gid Anasha, eating Basar B'chalav, eating Nevela. So answer Gemara, Ela Apik Havara. No, we're going to take out Havara like we said, but instead of inserting Nevela and saying that it's a Nevela, Va'ayil Atzei Asherah. We're going to put in its place Atzei Asherah, that you cooked using Atzei Asherah as your fuel. Va'asarase Mehacha, and Atzei Asherah Asar Ba'ana. And the Asara is from the Pasuk, V'lo Yidbak V'yadcha Mu'uma Menacherim. So Amalei Ravacha Breid Rava L'Ravashi, V'lilki Nami Mishum V'lo Savi Toev El. Actually, before we get to that one, we had mentioned this brisa lists off five separate Malkios. The Aruch Lener points out that this same brisa appears in Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Zayin and Beit Zadaf Yud Beis, but in both of those places it lists the Lavin in a different order. So he points out that this, our version here in Malkos Chaf Beis, is the most accurate version of this brisa because it's the most mistaber order to use, because it's going in the order of the way the Pesukim appear in the Torah. The Isra of Gid Anasha is in Parshas Ve'yishlach. Bishul B'Yom Tov is in Parshas Bo. Bishul Basar B'chalav, Parshas Mishpatim. Achilas Basar B'chalav, Parshas Kisisa. Havara B'Yom Tov, which is or Asara of Achilas Nevela, if you assume that it's a Gid Shal Nevela, or Atzei Ashera, which comes last. So the last two are in Parshas Re'eh, or Asara's Atzei Hegdish is in Parshas Ekev. So certainly that would come last. So that seems to be the proper order. Now it is interesting. The Gemara said that if you hold that there's no chiluk melachos on Yom Tov, then you shouldn't be chayiv for havara because you're already chayiv on Bishul. Which comes first, havara or Bishul? Right? You shouldn't be chayiv for havara because you're already chayiv on Bishul. You turn on the fire and then you cook. We should say you shouldn't be chayiv on Bishul because you're chayiv mishum havara, right? L'chora, the order is backwards. So the Ritva points out, yeah, the Gemara should have said the opposite, because you're already chayiv on havara, you shouldn't be chayiv on Bishul afterwards. But since the Braisa mentions Bishul and then havara, so we ask on that you shouldn't be chayiv mishum havara, meaning the order of the lav in the way it appeared in the Braisa. So we mention that okay, once you told me I'm chayiv mishum Bishul, you shouldn't tell me I'm chayiv mishum havara, even though you're chinami. Havara comes first. The Aruch Lener has a different answer. He says, based on the Shita of the Ri, that's quoted by Rishonim, that even with Hasra Achas, you get one Hasra, if you violate twice, Zeh Achar Zeh, if you do two separate acts of Isser, you're going to be Chayiv Shtayim. So he says, it must be that the case is over here that it's one act of Isser, where you had a pot on the fire, on the stovetop, and then you lit the fire. So you violate both Lavin at the same time, because otherwise, even if ein chiluk melachos, you should be chayiv shtayim because you were mechalal Yom Tov twice. So one time when you lit the fire, and another time when you then put the food on the fire. So it must be that we're talking about where you did it both bebas achas, and that's why the Gemara asks that you should take away havara, because havara is the actual it did not precede the bishul. It came at the actual same time as the bishul. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Amalei Ravach Rav Ravashi. Rashi, well, wait a second, if we're talking about Atzei Asherah over here, that's what the Gemara just said, that the fifth Malkus is for Atzei Asherah, that you're getting Anah from Atzei Asherah, why aren't you also in violation of Vosavi Toev El Beisecha? So says the Gemara, Ela Hachamei Eskinon Kigun Shebishla Ba'atzei Hegdish. You know what? We're not talking about that you're getting Anah from Atzei Asherah. We're talking about that it's Atzei Hegdish that was Hukdash for the Beis HaMikdash, where you're not allowed to burn it Derech Hashchasa. That's the Rambam Nitzis Sarei Torah Parag Vav Alach Zayin, that the Yisr of burning Atzei Hegdish is to burn it Derech Hashchasa in a destructive way. Vasarase Me'achan, the Asar is from the Pasuk, Ashreim Tishrufun Be'esh, Lo Sasim Kein Hashem Elokeichem, that while you do have a mitzvah to burn Atzei Asherah, but Lo Sasim Kein Hashem Elokeichem, you're not allowed to do that with holy things. So again, the Rambam says, it's not that there's an Isser to burn Atzei Hegdish, there's an Isser to burn Atzei Hegdish Derech Hashchasa. The Aruch Liner explains, that's only if that these are Eitzim that are not Omed L'Sreifa, and you burn them in order to be Mevashel. But if you take Eitzim that are Omed L'Sreifa, how can you have Eitzim that are Omed L'Sreifa? The Maracha, the Atzei Maracha, they're meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and they're holy. So that's not Derech Hashchasa. Then you would not be in violation of Lo Sasun Kein. They would burn the Nosar of a Karban Pesach, the Gemara Pesachim says, using the Atzei Maracha. And Tulsa says, isn't that a violation of Me'ila? So says, no, leave based in Masna Aleim. But so that's how the Aruch Liner explains. Now, Tosus points out that even though you also violate the Yisra of Me'ila, because you're getting Hana from Hegdish, the Tana doesn't mention Me'ila over here, because the Tana is only mentioning something that you for sure are going to be in violation. Whereas by Mi'ila, it's only Mi'ila if it's a Shavapruta. Tosos points out in Dibra Maskel Elef. If it's any less than a Shavapruta, then it's not going to be Mi'ila. That's top Tosos. If Tomer Lilki Mishum Hazed B'Mi'ila Ba'asarav, Yishlam D'Lachashav Elav D'Isnu B'Pachs Mi'Shavapruta. We're only mentioning a Lav, that even if it was less than a Shavapruta, it would be a violation of that Lav. So now the Gemara goes on to list several other suggestions of Malkios that a person should be able to get, even as he's choresh that telem echad. So the simon for these suggestions are shnavi'i shanaz. So it's one letter from the name of each person that makes a suggestion. So it's a shin from Rav Hoshaya, the nun from Rav Chananya, the beis from Rabbi Avahu, the aleph and the yud from Abaye, the shin from Rav Ashi, and the nun from Rav and the Zion from Rabbi Zeira. Problem is, it's one letter from each person's name, two letters from Abaye's name, because Abaye challenges twice. He has two kashas, so that's why we have two letters from Abaye's name in the simon. So Maskar of Hoshaya, challenges Vilich Shav Nami Azareya Ben Achalei Son. Why don't you add to the Malkios by saying that the guy is planting in a Nachalei Son, a place where they did the Egla Arufa Vasarase Me'acha, and it's the Yisra in the Torah is very clear. Asher Lo Yeah. That you're never allowed to plant in a Nachal Eisan. The Ritva points out the words Nachal Eisan mean that it's a place that's not Ra'ui Lizriya. So maybe that's why it doesn't mention that you're planting in a Nachal Eisan. True, you're not allowed to, but you also can't. So maybe that's why. So the Ritva says, no, there's no such thing as can't. It means it's much, much harder. It will take a lot more plowing, a lot more work. You're going to have to bring in soil. You have to, but there's always can. You're always able to. Maskar of Chanani, Velech Shavnami. Why not mention that you're also erasing the Shem Hashem as you're plowing? Why not mention cutting off the Beheres, the Neged Saras, when you're doing the Harisha? As you're plowing, you're cutting off your Neged Saras. And the Asar is from Hishamr B'Negat Saras. Hishamr is the Lashon of a Lav. So that too should be Yishmichayv Malkus for that as well. Maskifla Abaye, V'luchshav Nami Amazia Choshen Me'ala Eifod. Why not mention that you're removing the Choshen from the Eifod and you're wearing it at the time of the Harisha? If you somehow manage to get your hands on it and you're wearing it at the time of the Harisha, the Ritva says, this assumes like Hananya ben Chachinai that we're listing things that relate to what you're wearing at the time that you're doing Harisha, right? He listed wearing Shatnis as you're doing the Harisha. If you assume that, nah, that's totally separate. We're not looking at at such types of items of what you're wearing, then this kasha doesn't wouldn't start. And another suggestion Abaye has, v'amesir bade aron, maybe you're removing the badim from the aron in the base of Mikdash as you're plowing. So that would be another isser v'asarasa mehacha, and the asharos for these two are from lo yisuru and lo yizachachoshen. Maskar Ravashi, Ravashi, I'll give you another one. Maybe you're plowing using a plow that's made with lumber from an Asherah tree. That you're not allowed to get enough from the Atzei Asherah. Or maybe as you're plowing, you're also cutting down perfectly good fruit trees. And the Asar is from the Pasuk of Kimi Menusokhovosolo Tichros. Right? The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to cut down a tree, because you could eat from that tree, and you're not allowed to cut down the tree. So and apparently we're not interested in saying ton of a shire, even though previously we did say ton of a shire, because the Mishnah mentions va'over mishum shmon alavin, and it's the Mishnah had already met, the Tana mentioned the Isra of Yom Tov, so when we ask about another Isra Yom Tov, we say ton of a shire. But over here, the Tana is not looking for other ways to violate other isurim. So you could say ton of a shire and something like that. That's what Tosel says. So anyway, so Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Mani v'lichshav nami. I'll give you another one. Kigon da Amar shvua shlo echrosh b'yom tov. A guy takes a shvua that he's not going to plow on Yom Tov. So when he plows, he violates that shvua of lo yachel dvaro. So says Gemara, no, Hasam over there when he takes that shvua, lo kachala shvua, the shvua is not going to be chal because mushrav yom mersinayhu. He's already not allowed to plow on Yom Tov because it's an isser in the Torah not to plow on Yom Tov. So the shvua is not going to be chal. The shvua is not going to be chal in that which is already a davar aser. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira says Rabbi Mani, but maybe the shvua can be chal. Kigon da amar shvua shlo echrosh. Granted, if you just take a shvua, I'm not going to plow on Yom Tov, that's not going to be chal because plowing is already asur on Yom Tov. But if you take a shvua that's more inclusive, you take a shvua that I'm never going to plow, not on a weekday, not on Yom Tov, then it actually will be chal. Because once the shvua is going to be chal vis-a-vis a weekday, so then the shvua is going to be chal vis-a-vis the Yom Tov as well. So answers the Gemara, the reason we don't mention shvua, that you're violating a shvua as well, because a shvua is isei b'she'ela. A shvua is subject to she'ela. I mean, you could be shovel on the shvua, and we're not mentioning anything that's subject to she'ela. V'lo, we're not mentioning anything subject to be shovel on, where you could back out of it. V'arei hektish, what about the fact that we said that hey mukdashin, hektish is generated al yidei dibor, and therefore it's isei b'she'ela. There's a way to undo hektish. Says Mar, not all hektish, b'b'char. A b'char is kadosh mirechem. So a b'char, when it comes out, it's automatically holy. There's no way to undo that kedusha, to be shoel on that kedusha. Now it's true there is a din that you're supposed to be makdish the bechor also, but that's similar to the din that we're makadesh Shabbos when we say kiddush on Shabbos. Whether you're makadesh Shabbos or not, Shabbos is holy. But we have a mitzvah sometimes to acknowledge the kedusha that's already there. So sometimes when we're makadesh something, we're actually granting the kedusha, we're endowing it with the kedusha, and sometimes when we're makadesh something, we're acknowledging the kedusha, which may also elevate the Kedusha, may also be an endowment of Kedusha, but it's a Kedusha that's already there. V'harein Nazir says, you have that by Meiser Behem also. By Meiser Behem, the 10th one out of the pen is going to be Kadosh regardless. That's what the Mishnayos talk about. If you miscount and you say that on number 9, you say 10, and then on number 10, you say 11. So you never called number 10 the 10th one, and nevertheless, it's Kadosh as Meiser Behem. So what's the point? Why go through the process? Why do I have to count it? Because sometimes something is automatically kadosh, and you still have to be makdish it. So says Gemara, but wait, I'll give you another example of something that's on the list. That's isa b'she'ela. Vare nazir. A nazir is something that a person commits to verbally, and since you commit to it verbally, it's isa b'she'ela. Says Gemara, b'nazir shimshon. No, we're talking about that he was makabel the nazirus through a malach that gave the message that you have to be makabel the nazirus. You can't be shoal on that nazirus because it wasn't your... verbal commitment. It was a tzivoy that came from above. But wait a second, if that was the problem with his nazirus, then if that's that was the nature of his nazirus, then he shouldn't have a nisr of being metami lemeis. One of the los essays that he's violating over here is a nazir being metami lemeis. A nazir Shimshon is allowed to be metami lemeis. Shimshon was metami to tons of meisim. As Ella says, Gemara, hay tana isr kolel leslei. This tana must not hold of isr kolel, and therefore we go back to the Shavua, to the possibility of the Shavua. The reason it doesn't mention the Isser Shavua is not because you could be Shoel on it. The reason not to mention the Isser Shavua is for a different reason, is because it's never going to be Chal, a Shavua, not to be not to plow on Yom Tov, because it's already Yasser. We said maybe you took the Shavua that you're not going to plow on weekday or Yom Tov, and therefore since it's an Isser Kolel, Yom Tov will be Chal. No, with this Tana doesn't hold of such a concept of Isser Kolel, and therefore the Shavua can never be Chal on as far as Yom Tov is concerned. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, so one that we just the Gemara very briefly mentions, sometimes you can have one animal and still violate Klayim. Hamrabiya Shor Psulei Hamikdashim. If you take a shor that was hukdash as a karban and then it developed a mum and you therefore were poda it, so even if you are marbia it on its own min, you made it with its own min, lokeshnayim, you get two malkios. Amrabi Yitzchak Hamanig Bishor Psulei Hamikdashim. If a person leads a sharp Suleya Mukdashim, even on its own, Loka, he gets Malkus for Klayim. Share Guf Echaruva, so Kasuv Kishne Gufim. Because even though it's one Guf, the Torah considers it as if it's two Gufim, because it's partially Chulin and partially Hagdish. So we treat it as if it's two different animals, one of Chulin and one of Hagdish. So that's what we meant when we said that Loka Shnayim, that if you're Marbia, sharp Suleya Mukdashim, Loka Shnayim, one because of Klayim and one because of Avoda B'Psulei HaMukdashim. So because Harva'a is considered Avoda as well. So you see that it has a din of Klayim because it's both Kodesh and Chol that are B'Irvuvia in a single animal. Okay, so now says the Mishnah. Kama Malkin or so, right? We got to Daf Chav Beis Masechus Malkos, so two Daf before the end. How many Malkos do we give? Right? I mean, now we get to some of the very basics of what it means to give Malkos. So how many Malkos do we give? So Arboim Chasarachas. So it's 39. Shenemar, because the pasuk says bimispar arba'im. It doesn't exactly. It says v'yikol l'fan of kedei rishasol bimispar. Period. Arba'im yakenu. Right. But we read the two words are adjacent to one another. So we read it as if it said bimispar arba'im, which we darshan means minyan shu samach arba'im, the number that's very close to 40. Rabbi Yehuda omer arba'im shleimus l'loka. No, it's 40. Ve'echnu l'loka seyaseiro. Well, wait a second. We hit him on three different parts of his body, and so it's always a number that's divisible by three. So 40 is not divisible by three. Where does the 40th lash go? So it says Gemara Bank Seifav between his shoulder blades. Say Ein Omdinoso Ella BeRuias LeShtalish. Whenever we assess how many malchus to give him, we always come up with a number that's divisible by three. Amdu LeKabel Arba'im VeLakom Miktas. Let's say they assess that he can handle the full 40, and he got some of them. He received some of these lashes, and then they reassess Amdu Shein Yachal LeKabel Arba'im. And they see he's not going to make it, right? Meaning we just hit him with 33rd Malkus, and we see he can't take another one, so Potter. If he can't take another, he's going to die. He doesn't have to die, so he's Potter. So we Amdu L'Kabel Shmona Esrei. If initially we says, you know what, he can handle 18. Umishalaka, we give him 18, and he's thriving. He's like, give me more. So Amdu Sheyachal L'Kabel Arba'im, and we see that he could handle 40, Potter. He's Potter from receiving any more, because he already got what we had assessed that he's able to handle. The Gemara is going to discuss. And what if he didn't already get? What if we just made an assessment and then he shows up? Then we take another look at him and we see, oh, he's much stronger than we thought he was. So that might be different. The Rivan points out, and we'll see in the Gemara. So now we had said that you only give 39 malchios, even though the Torah says the number 40. My time, why is it only 39? Iksiv arba'im b'mispar havamin arba'im b'minyana. If it would have said arba'im b'mispar, that would mean 40. But hashadichziv, b'mispar arba'im, since it says b'mispar arba'im, we darshan minyan shu sochem es arba'im. The number that's mashlim, brings us all the way to 40. That the number that would cause us to say the next number to be 40. So the number that would bring us right up to 40 is obviously 39. That's how the Rivan explains. The Ritva says that no. Whenever you know you say, how old is that guy? You say, oh, he's in his 40s, right? So when does in his 40s start? So that's when he's 40. So that's associated with the decade that follows. So the Ritva says that every grouping of 10, the one that makes the 10th is shayich to that mispar. So the minyan that sochem is harbayim is the minyan that makes the number 40, which is that brings you to your 40s, which is 39. Because then the very next step is to bring it to the next grouping of 10. Okay, whatever it is. Then the Ritva says this whole thing's not a real drasha anyway. It's a Kabbalah halacha Moshe Mesinai that we give 39. We're just trying to find a remez from the pasuk. It's probably not. This is probably not an actual drasha from the pasuk, says the Ritva. Amar Rava. So Rava just points out. Kama tepshay shar inshi. How stupid are other people? The kaimi mekami sefer Torah, that they stand in front of a sefer Torah. Velo kaimi mekami gavur Rava, and they don't stand in front of a gadol b'Torah who walks in front of them. So, and really, the svara should be the opposite. That more you should be mechabed the adam gadol more so than the sefer Torah. Why? Deilu b'sefer Torah ksiv, because the sefer Torah says arba'im, that you give 40 malchus vas rabbanon batzuchada, and the rabbanon through the power of drasha they were able to take one away. So we should honor them because they were able to do this for us. That you only get 39 malchios and not 40 malchios. Now the Achronim Rabba, the Aruch Lener, raises the question, kama tipshai, kama rishai, that mipnei seva takum, the Torah says, and they're violating the Yisra, mipnei seva takum. That's rishos, that's not foolishness, it's not tipshus. So the Aruch Lener suggests that we're talking about when it's a very young Talmud Chacham, because that's a machlokas in the Gemara and Kiddushin, if mipnei seva takum applies to him as well. That's mipnei zaket. So he says that even if the pasuk is not speaking about him, and there's no chiv to stand in front of him, it's a tipshus because you're not making the logical connection. You're not making the logical meaning. So it's not always rishos, because you might taina, the Torah never tells me I have to stand for a young Talmud Chacham. But it is tipshus, because if you understand why you stand for, if you didn't stand for a Sefer Torah, so it's ignorance. But if you stand for a Sefer Torah, so then you probably should have asked at some point, why do I stand for a Sefer Torah? So then if you understand that, then you should understand that it's more valuable to stand for a Talmud Chacham. The Arayim writes that the din v'adarta p'nei zaken is only klape a zaken that actually taught you Torah. But if you didn't learn any Torah from the person, then there's no chiyuv. It's then that's not the ikra chiyuv. It's only a tolda from that chiyuv. So that's what we're saying. Someone who's not mekayim that is a tipish, because he chose not to learn Torah, right? So that's the tipshus. The tipshus is that he didn't learn from this person, and here you have an opportunity to learn from the person. That's what the Gilyonei Hashas of Yosef Engel says. Kama tipshay shah. If his talmidim don't stand from him, then that's rishos. That's not tipshos. But sharinshi, people who are not the talmidim, then it's tipshos more so than rishos. Now the big kasha that the rishonim all ask and the achronim ask is it seems like a stira between our gemara and the gemara in Mesachas Kiddushin, because it sounds from our gemara that a talmud chacham is more chashuv than a sefer Torah, and we're saying how stupid it is to stand for a sefer Torah, not for a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is even more chashuv. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that the makar that you stand for a sefer Torah is a kal v'chomer mipnei lomdeha omdin mipaneha lo kol shekein. It's only a kal v'chomer if the sefer Torah is more chomer than the Talmud Chacham. So it seems like a stira. So the Tosafos HaRash suggests what we're trying to say over here is that someone who stands for a sefer Torah and not for a Talmud Chacham is a tipish, because the makar to stand for a sefer Torah is a kal v'chomer from a Talmud Chacham. Then in a chinami, the Torah is more chomer than the Talmud Chacham, but the whole way you know to stand for the Torah is from the Talmud Chacham. So that's the tipshus, but it's not that the Talmud Chacham is more chashuv than the sefer Torah. No, the sefer Torah is more chashuv than the Talmud Chacham. Okay, there are many other answers. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arboim Shlemus. Rabbi Yehuda says give 40 full malchias. Some Rabbi Yehuda, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Where does he get that idea? The chsiv, because the pasuk says Ma makos eile bin yodecha. Va'amar asharu kesi beis ma'ahavai. So you see, Bezin gives him malchus between the shoulders. So that must be the 40th lash, because that's not one of the three spots. So it must be that there's a one that's not divisible by three that you have to give in a different spot. Rabbanan, who be tinok shalom shabbat nitzchiv. The Rabbanan would say, no, that's not talking about giving malchus. That's talking about when you have a child who's not learning. So the Rebbe gives him a zetz. So he hits him in that spot. The Marsha points out dafka in that spot, because you don't want to do something dangerous. So you can't hit him on the head, or you can't hit him in where there are internal organs that he could damage or something like that. So that's why the Rebbe dafka hits him in that spot. We had earlier dafches about a Rebbe who hits the Talmud and accidentally kills him going to go. So we don't want to deal with that. Einom didel b'makas aruyah. So we said you only give makas aruyah l'shtalish, and then the Mishnah spoke about what if he could handle more or less than we thought he'd be able to handle. So luck in lo luck alo. Then the Gemara is medayik. It sounds like if you gave him some of the malchios, so then he's takapater if you see that he can't handle anymore. But if you didn't give him any yet, and then you see that he can't handle more, then he's not pater from the malchios that he's able to handle. Uriminhu, but I'll ask you stira. Amdu lekabel arba'im v'chazu v'amdu shein yochel lekabel arba'im. If initially we assess that he can handle 40, and then you see that he can't, so pater. He's pater from the malchios. Amdu lekabel shmon esrei. If we assess that he can handle 18, v'chazu v'amdu shiochel lekabel arba'im, and then we see he can handle a lot more, pater. He's pater from getting the 40, he only gets the 18. So you see that even if he didn't yet get the malchus, he's pater from the initial assessment, which is more chamor, on account of the second assessment, which is more kal, and from the second assessment, which is more chamor, on account of the initial assessment, which is more kal. So I'm Rav Sheshes lo kasha. Hadam du liyome, hadam du lemachar liyoma ochara. That our Mishnah is talking about a case where on the very day that they assessed him to be able to handle 40, they reassessed him and they see that he can't handle. So then the first omed was obviously a mistake, because his matzav wouldn't have changed so much in such a small amount of time, and therefore it's considered as if the initial assessment was totally invalid. So we wait till he gets healthier and we'll do a new assessment. But if he already got some of the malchios, he's pater, because he was already in the spaza and basin, so you don't have to give him malchus again. The Seifa is, and in the Seifa it said if we initially assessed he could handle 18, and then they assessed him again on that day and they see that he could handle 40, so we see that the first omed was nonsense, and therefore if he already got the full malchus, it's a bizayon for Beis Din to be machzir him again, and therefore he's pater. But if he didn't give him anything, so keep on giving him more until you get to 40. Whereas Damdula Machr liyom ochra, it doesn't mean that the first one was a mistake. It could be that he had gotten much healthier. Okay, so next Mishnah. Avera averu sheish b'shnei lavin. A guy violates an avera that involves two lavin. Amdu omer echa. They make one assessment for both lavin. So it could be that he's going to get more malchios than you'd get for one lav. Loka, you give him whatever he can handle. Upater, and then he's pater from getting any more. But v'im lav, but if they did not assess for two lavin, then loka, then you give him for one lav. Umisrape, and then he gets better. V'chaz of loka, then you give him malchus for the other lav. V'atanya, inom din omer echad l'shnei lavin. But didn't we say that you're not supposed to make one omed for shnei lavin, for two separate lavin? So I'm Rav Sheshes lo kasha. Hadam du l'arboim v'chada, hadam du l'arboim v'tarti. It depends. If you see you can only handle 41, so that's, and we're not going to let him get off the hook for two separate lavin with 41 malchios. But if you see that he can handle 42, 39 for one malchus, and then a number that's divisible by three for the second one, so then we're going to give him, then we're going to let him cover both lavin with that one assessment. Kate said Malkino, so says the Mishnah, okay, what do we do? How do you actually administer Malkus? So Kofish Te Yadav Ala Amud, we tie his two hands on a post, Helech Vehelech, one on each side, V'chazna Knesset Sochiz B'Begadav, and the Chazna Knesset grabs his clothing, Im Nikru Nikru, if they tear, Im Nifrimu, if they break it, they tear on the seam, the Nifrimu, they'll tear on the seam, Ashu Megale Eslibo, but the point is that he needs to be shirtless, because when we give him the Malkus, it needs to hit his skin directly. V'Evin Nesuna Me'acharav, and the There's an Evan behind him. Chazan HaKnesset Omidel. It's like where Chazan stands on top of this Evan. Uritzu biyado shel Egel, and he has a calf skin whip. Kfula echel d'shaim, that's doubled over. Shaim larba, doubled over twice. V'shtei ritzul shel chamor olos v'yordos ba. And it's got two smaller straps of chamor skin on the sides. Yada tefach, its handle is a tefach. Uruchava tefach, and the width of the ritzu is a tefach. V'rosh ha-magas al pi kreso. And the tip of the whip will reach all the way to his belly. Umako so shlish mi lefanav, and we give him 1/3 of the malchus, hit him in the front. Ushtei yados mi la'acharav, and 2/3 hit him on the back. Ve'enu mako so lo omed v'lo yoshev, we don't hit him when he's standing or sitting. Ela muta, when he's leaning. Shenem ravi pilu ha-shofet v'amaka maka biyado achas b'kol kocho, and he hits with one hand with kol kocho. V'akore kore, and then they read out the psukim im lo sishmor lasos v'ifla Hashem es makos chav es makos v'chaz l'tchilis ha-mikra, and then they go back to read the psukim. Shmarta mis devrei ha-bris ha-zos, more psukim. V'chosim v'urach mi-chaberavon v'chosim l'tchilis ha-mikra. V'imeis tachas yado, and if the guy dies while you're doing this potter, the guy that works for Beis Din is potter. But hosef lo b'tzua achas u'meis, harez ha-golo al yado. If he adds one extra whip, and the guy dies, then he goes to galus. Niskalkel bein b'rei bein b'mayim, potter. If the guy soils himself or wets himself, so then he's suffered enough bizyonis and he's potter, and you stop hitting him. Rabbi Yudom ish b'rei ve'isha b'mayim. Now, a man, if he soils himself, but a woman, even if she just wets herself, that would be enough to potter them from the rest. But tomorrow, we'll pick up with the Gemara on the top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Everyone have a great day.